Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today's runner has been running for the last 15 years, but really started to take things serious after going through some difficult life changes and deciding to train for her first marathon. She was able to maintain a really healthy mindset through her first marathon, but nearly injured herself because of that all-or-nothing mindset that we fall into where we think if we miss a run, then we can't run the marathon. She was able to offer some really great advice about it never being the perfect time to run your race, so make sure that you stick around until the end for that advice. Without further ado, let's jump right in. Please welcome Sarah. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Really excited to have you here. We've been like social media friends for a good amount of time here, so I know a little bit of your journey. I know we've had a lot of parallels too, but I'm excited to dive in a little bit deeper. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. All right, well, let's start from the beginning. How did we get introduced to movement or running? Where did this world all kind of start for you?
Oh my God, that's a loaded question. And I think people are surprised when I say this because I've actually been running for like 15 years.
Oh, wow. But
I consider myself a new runner though. And I say that because I'm in like a different era of running than I was a long time ago. It pretty much started when I was in high school. And I think like a lot of people, it started for weight loss, had a lot of body weight issues, was dealing with like an unhealthy relationship with food. And maybe my senior year of high school is when that all started. I spent a lot of time in the gym, and I think I started running like right before my senior year just for fun. And I think I had like a subconscious influence because my mom ran, and I actually like, so every year she would run, I'm a Philly girl, she would run like the Broad Street Run every year, which I think is coming up. But I never saw her running. I never saw her training for anything. I just remembered that she would like go do a race, and that was in my mind. So I think I did have that subconscious influence of like her running. And I actually asked her about it before coming here because I was like, I know you went and ran races, but like, what was that? And she was like, oh yeah, like I would run before you guys woke up in the morning. I would run on the treadmill at night. Mm. And being an adult now, I'm like, whoa, that's pretty badass that she would do that. And like, I had no idea. So I think that's kind of how I got into it. My first pair of running shoes was my mom's old pair of running shoes, which 0 out of 10 recommend because they were like really worn down. And before I knew what was going on, like I had IT band syndrome from them.
Sure.
So definitely don't recommend wearing your parents' old running shoes. But that's kind of how it started. And it was always more of like a weight loss thing. I started college and I interacted with a lot of like active people. My college boyfriend was on the crew team. My best friend ran. Like I just had an influence of people that we'd go to the gym at night all the time, and just always kind of stayed active in that way. So surrounded myself with a lot of good people, and it just kind of kept going from there.
Gotcha. Cool. So you had it at least in the back of your mind for a while. When do you feel like it pivoted from like, this is something that other people are doing that I'm like participating in, to this is something that I'm going to do like for myself?
That was more recently. And I think that's why I consider myself a new runner, because I always ran, but I never ran.
Yeah.
Like it was just something that I was doing to hang out with other people and stay fit and active. But like, I think maybe within the last 2 years, it became more of for me and for myself, and more of less of the physical need to go out and run, and more of the mental aspect, the mental shift for me. I have been in school my whole life. I'm a dentist. You know this.
Yeah.
So I was in college for 4 years. I was in dental school for 4 years. I did a year of residency. And when that all ended, I was like, well, what do I do now? Like, I don't have tests to study for. I don't have classes to pass. Like, where is my mental challenge going to come from? And since I had already been running, I mean, casually, it just kind of felt like the natural progression of things for running to become my mental challenge.
Sure. No, that makes sense. Yeah, like something new to that. That's a hard thing that you can accomplish.
Exactly.
Obviously, running is much different than being in medical school. What were some of the things that you were noticing about like the mental challenge you had from school versus like running?
Honestly, there were a lot of similarities. I feel like at the start there were a lot of similarities. I mean, running is freaking hard. Running is really, really difficult, and school is really, really difficult. And I think both of them have that kind of instant gratification. You take a test, you get the results of the test, you're either happy or sad about it. You go for a run, you have a goal in mind, you either hit that goal or you don't. But I think the big difference maybe is that with running, you can have different goals and still achieve something great, whereas there's kind of like a end all be all in school, like I need to graduate and become a doctor. Whereas running, it's like, okay, maybe I didn't hit my time goal for this race, but I still successfully did this and that and achieved all these really great things. So there's a lot of similarities in that, like in the beginning, I was really hard on myself with running. I would go for these long runs and not post my pace anywhere because I was really embarrassed by it. And I think a lot of that has shifted. Like I've learned a lot about myself and I've become much more confident from it all.
No, it makes sense that there'd be some similarities there for sure. What about like when did racing start to make its way into your life? It sounds like you started running, but like when did you start thinking about, okay, I'm going to sign up for a race?
I ran my first race in college. So, my sophomore year of college, my best friend Sarah, she's also Sarah. She's tall Sarah. I'm short Sarah, which is funny because she's 6 feet and I'm
Oh my
5'9".
gosh,
We're both powerhouses. So I think her family was kind of into like racing, and she convinced me to sign up for a race with her. It was her first half marathon too. So we ran the Nike Women's Half Marathon in DC. This was a decade ago, more than a decade ago. It was the coolest race. I'm so sad they don't do this anymore. It was like, obviously men could run it too, but at the finish line they had men in tuxedos with like silver platters and Tiffany boxes, and the medal was like a little Tiffany's necklace. It
Oh, I
was the
love
cutest
that.
thing.
That's
Yeah,
so
I'm really,
cute.
I think they do like a women's marathon now, but that one was like the OG one. So we did that our sophomore year and we trained for it together, and I went to college in DC, so it was like a super fun way to explore the city and like while training go all over and just see everything. We'd like run to the monuments all the time. I think that was the year, maybe the first or second year Obama was inaugurated. So we like ran to the inauguration and got to see all that happen. Yeah, it was a really cool experience. So we ran that race together, and like initially I was hooked. Everybody gets hooked after their first race. And I was like, I want to beat my time. So I ran another one my sophomore year, and then senior year, I think I took a step back to like be a college hooligan.
Sure, as you do.
Yeah. And then dental school happened, and I had a lot of friends that ran there too, and we would run races every year. I went to dental school in Pittsburgh, and there's a 10K every year called the Great Race. It's a really good 10K, and I still run it now. And we would do that every year and then like have brunch afterwards, and it was always. So I've been racing for a long time, but I've never cared about, except for that one race my junior year of college, I never really cared about my pace or anything. I never cared about how I finished. I never took training all that seriously. Like training for me would be, okay, I'm gonna run 3 or 4 times a week, and on the weekends I'm gonna increase my mile by an extra mile, and that's how I'm going to train. I never did speed workouts. I didn't know what a tempo workout was, like all of that good stuff that I do know now. I never really cared about it. So I have been kind of racing, I guess, for a long time, but maybe 2 years ago when that whole shift happened mentally, wanting to have that mental challenge, I signed back up for another 10K. I was living down in Florida at the time, and I hadn't run a race in maybe 4 years. So I signed up for a 10K, which was my first race in a long time, and that's how I kind of got back into it. And I was never in my life expecting to do a marathon. I always said I was never going to do a marathon.
Yep, famous last
And
words.
here we are.
There we go. Cool. So, was that 10K? Was that the first race that you feel like you actually like took training seriously, followed a plan, like did the whole thing, or was it a later race?
No, so that 10K was that was like a total struggle bus. It was, I don't know, I it was a hard race for me. I didn't take training seriously. I just kind of wanted to get back into running and have something, a goal to look forward to. And then I think my goal from there was to do that and prove to myself I could do it so that maybe I could sign up for another half marathon. And I used that to allow myself to sign up for another half, which in between that time, I moved back up to Pittsburgh. And so I signed up for the Pittsburgh half, which
Gotcha.
was 2 years ago now. And I think still at that point, I was like, this is just a thing to kind of keep me, give me a mental check and allow myself to have something to look forward to and stay in shape and all that good stuff. But I still didn't take that training too seriously. It was the marathon that I like honed down, and really running changed for me.
Cool. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. And how long was it from? I know you had like a really long like stint, but how long was it from maybe that 10K to when you decided to run that marathon, just like timeline wise?
Probably 2.5 years.
Okay.
Maybe, yeah, 2 years. It was December of 22 was the 10K. And then this is a little sink for me. I know we rescheduled this interview. It kind of fell perfect timing because this is Pittsburgh Marathon weekend. So it's
Oh,
like
cool.
exactly 1 year since I ran my marathon.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I love it. So yeah, probably 2 years between the 10K and the marathon. And then even signing up for the marathon was like a whole process.
Yeah, that was gonna be my next question, is like, how did that enter your mind? Like, where did we get from I'm never running a marathon ever to, okay, maybe I'll do this thing.
Yeah, so like I said, I moved back. I was living in Florida for a couple years. I moved back to Pittsburgh, which is a whole change in itself. I'm working again at a new job, like doing all these different things. And then I had a lot of emotional trauma going on, which I think is kind of a common theme in people's lives, but there was a lot of like personal life thing, and I was going through a really, really dark space. And I needed running, like running. I needed it. And back to my best friend Sarah, she had been trying to convince me to sign up for a marathon because she had just ran her first one the summer before. And I was finally like, you know what? Let's freaking do it. Let's sign
Cool.
up for a marathon. I'm gonna make it happen. I need this in my life. And that's how that came about. We signed up for a marathon. We didn't sign up for Pittsburgh. We signed up for a marathon outside of Seattle because that's where Sarah's from. And she wanted to do the same one she did the year before. So we signed up for that one. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going all into it. Like, I'm base building, I'm listening to podcasts about running, I'm evaluating like 15 different training plans and putting them into Excel spreadsheets so I can like combine them and figure out what I want to do for myself. I was like, it's happening. This is going all out. I'm not half-assing this one.
Yeah.
And so I was starting to base build. I think I was running like 8 miles at the time. And Sarah texted me and she was like, I have some bad news. And I was like, oh no, what's happening? So, like, I have to go to a wedding the same day as the marathon. And she was like, maybe we can make something work. Maybe I can run the marathon and then go to the wedding later in the day. And I was like, that sounds awful. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
So we just decided to nix that marathon. And I was like, well, I already have it in my head that I'm running a marathon. So I started looking for other marathons. And I was like, I live in Pittsburgh. I might as well keep it home base. I mean, I've done the Pittsburgh half. It's a great race and they're combined. They like start together and then
Yeah.
branch off midway through. So I was like, I might as well just do Pittsburgh. And it was, I think, 15 weeks away, and that made me nervous. I remember posting on my Instagram story being like, do you guys think this is like enough time for me to train for this? Even though I had already like started, and everyone was like, heck yeah, do it. So I signed up for it right away. And I have a tendency to make like very rash decisions. I didn't really think about it. The day I was like, I'm gonna sign up for Pittsburgh, I signed up for Pittsburgh. So that's how Pittsburgh happened, and I don't regret it at all.
I mean, I'm sure it was stressful, like, especially because you were looking into plans so like meticulously and putting together your own thing, which, by the way, I think is great because we get a lot of stories on here of like, especially for your first marathon, you just try to plop the plan into your life and your lifestyle, and that's not always the best way to do it. So I like that you were actually thinking about like, how can I make this my own? But 15 weeks and trying to put your plan on top of that had to be hard to think about. So like, what were some adjustments you were thinking about making? Like, how were you going to make 15 weeks work?
I completely like revamped my schedule, and most marathon training plans are like what, 12 to 16 weeks. So I was like, 15 weeks, 16 weeks, this is fine. I'm already running 8 miles. I can make this happen. So I really don't think I adjusted too much. Maybe just when my, peak weeks were going to be, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. So when you were starting with the plan, like there's always highlights of marathon training, lowlights of marathon training. There's a whole lot of up and down. Like, what were some of the stories or things that you remember about training for your first marathon?
I actually loved marathon training. I liked it so much more than the actual marathon itself, which m might be weird, but I had a really good time with it. It became my life, and it's still my life now, running in general, of course. But I was just like, I had something to look forward to every week. I'm big on structure and consistency, and that gave me the structure and consistency that I felt like I'd been missing in my life. It was a time for me to like go out and disconnect from everything that was happening in my life and just be with myself and my own thoughts and take whatever I needed from that run at that point. There were, of course, some really hard runs, and some runs were better than others. But I think, especially training for your first marathon, you're hitting all these really exciting distance goals. I'm really hard-headed, and I pushed through the injury. I didn't rest, and in my mind, I was like, if I stop running now, I'm not going to be able to run the marathon in a couple weeks. If I take off 3 or 4 weeks of running, there's no way I'm making it through this, which now I know is a mistake. I know you know that firsthand
For
recently
sure,
too.
yep.
But yeah, that was definitely a major mistake for me because the week before my marathon, I barely ran at all. Like I was having really bad quad pain, I was having knee pain, all from that IT band. And I have a friend that's a physical therapist, and they gave me like a training, like a some exercises to do, and that was helping. But I wasn't fully recovered while I was still trying to run, and I was just like pushing through it. And I looked back to videos of myself at that time, and like you can see the way my gait was all messed up. Like I was limping. It wasn't good. But I was doing those PT exercises. They were helping. And then the week before the marathon, I didn't run at all. Like I didn't do any sort of shakeout runs or anything like that. And I miraculously got better. So, turns out rest is what you need
What do you
sometimes.
know?
And I should have maybe done that a little sooner, but.
It's so hard. I mean, I know I probably sound like a broken record because I've talked about this a couple times on the show, but like these all or nothing mindsets for first marathons come up in stories over and over and over again. It's so common. And it's so hard to, like make decisions about something that you know nothing about. You know what I mean? So, so rest. And being on the other side of it now, you're like, of course, like obviously I would need to rest for an injury that requires rest. Like obviously, but when you're in it, you're in that mindset of like, if I miss this training run, I'm not gonna be able to run this marathon. So it's really, really a tricky thing to balance.
It is. And I try
Maybe.
to tell people that too now.
Yeah.
Like my friend's running the half tomorrow, and she started out kind of injured, and I was like, don't run. Just don't. Don't do it. You can do other things. things and still be in shape and still like prepare yourself.
Totally.
But
totally.
It's you have to make yourself do it, and it's hard to make yourself not run when you love running so much.
100%. Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm on marathon number 3. This is the first time I've gone through a major injury, but yeah, it's same thing. I mean, I did it safely. That's my disclaimer. Is I had a whole lot of people working with me to make sure I wasn't going to permanently hurt myself, but like yeah. If I didn't have that and it was my first marathon, I 100% would have been out for like I'm a week from the marathon, almost exactly a week today, and I'm feeling completely fine. If I didn't have people like helping, no way. You know what I mean? Like I'd have a permanent injury right now. So definitely want to make sure we take that serious.
Yeah. Moral of the story, it's okay to ask for help.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So like there's people out there that are experts in the thing that you are dealing with. So just go seek out resources and find those people. I think that's the best way to go about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. So we were getting ready for the marathon. How were you feeling like leading up to the marathon? Were you feeling confident, nervous, excited? Like what was going through your head?
I was really nervous. A mix of nerves and excitement, which I think is how I feel about every race, even, you know, a 5K now. 5Ks are scary, actually, but so maybe less nervous than the 5K I ran. But definitely nervous, definitely excited. I was just ready for it to happen because you put all this effort into it and you get so tired from training and following a plan and being on all the time. And I was just like so ready for it to happen. And my friend Sarah, the one I had originally signed up for, she ended up signing up for Pittsburgh too. So
oh,
she
cool.
came
so you had
from
her too.
Seattle. And yeah, and she ran with me, which I loved because we ran our first half together. I ran my first marathon with her. It was just like, it's so cute, so wholesome.
I love that. Yeah.
So she came from Seattle and we spent like a long weekend together. And it was just like, it was so exciting, and I don't think I felt prepared. I knew I was going to be able to do it.
Right.
And I went in with the mindset that it doesn't matter my pace or my time, because any time finish is going to be a PR for me. And I think I had the right mindset about it. I think I really did a good job with my mindset. It was more the physical aspect I was worried about.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Which makes sense. Marathon is a crazy physical feat. So we'll take it.
And I don't think you're going to know what you're going to get like during any marathon you do.
No, absolutely not. No, it constantly is going to throw something at you. But cool. Well, let's break down the race then. I'll let you break it down however you want to, but maybe talk about like the first half.
Yeah, the first half was great. The thing about the Pittsburgh Marathon, if anybody ever wants to run it, the marathon, the half, whatever, it rains every single year.
Like, oh, really?
The start is always raining. Pittsburgh is one of like the rainiest cities in the country. So
I did not know that.
It has more rain than Seattle, like per amount.
No way.
But, yeah, it's pretty yuck. It's gonna rain today. So it always rains at the start of Pittsburgh. The vibes were really good though, because I had done the half last year, so I kind of knew the go abouts of how to get down there. Like the whole city shuts down. You have to be there early enough. There's like, it's a train wreck. So I felt prepared in that way because I knew exactly how to navigate that. And then I was running, Sarah was running, Sarah's boyfriend, now husband, he was doing the half. My little brother came to do the half. So I had like a whole squad there at the start, which was really, really nice. Because Sarah had done one before and we were going to run at a similar pace, she kind of guided me through it. And she was like, we're going to start out that first half really, really easy. Her boyfriend ran the marathon and half split off at mile 10. So he ran the first 10 miles with us. And they're just like, they're a whole vibe. They're a very like goofy, fun pair. So the whole time was really, really good. That first 10 miles, we like took it really easy. I love the Pittsburgh half. I think the first half of that course is amazing. There's like super great crowd support. You're going through the best parts of the city. There's a lot of good stuff about the half. And then at that 10 miles, it broke off. And that's when I was like, oh, shit, this is going to be really, really hard for the
Yeah,
next 16.2
we're gonna be here for a
miles.
minute. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, most people run the half, not as many people run a marathon. And so it gets really quiet. We were running like a 12, 12:30 pace. So we're the back of the pack. And there was, oh my gosh, from mile maybe 11 to 15 was just quiet.
Oof, yeah,
Like,
brutal.
if I didn't have Sarah there with me, I would have been able to do it, but it would not have been nearly as enjoyable, or I probably would not have pushed myself quite as hard.
Sure.
So you get to mile 15 and you enter this other neighborhood, and there was like a ton of crowd support there. But then maybe after mile 16 again, it gets pretty quiet. And I think Pittsburgh struggles in that the whole back half of the marathon is not as, they don't put as much money into it as they do the front half because not as
Yeah.
many people are running the full marathon.
Right.
So it was just a lot quieter. It's through neighborhoods that aren't as popular. And I think that made it a lot more difficult. It's also a really hilly course. Like the first half is not too bad, and I knew what to expect with that because I ran the half before. But the back half is just like rolling hills the entire time.
Yeah.
And I think it's like a 700-foot elevation gain throughout the whole race. And I knew that, but I didn't know that. Like, I was not prepared for how that
That's a
elevation
lot.
change. It was a lot, and I should have trained hills a little more and a little better because I walked a lot of those hills. And I think that's fine. That's totally fine. It got me
Totally.
through. But I if I were to do it again, I would definitely be more prepared in that way. So I hit a wall probably mile 15, which is earlier than I thought I was going to hit the wall. So mile 15 is when I was like, I'm struggling mentally right now. There's so many hills. It was humid compared to like training throughout the winter. I mean, raining, high humidity. It was warmer. It was like 60 something degrees. And I felt so dehydrated. Like I had my pack on and I busted through that, and then I was taking like 2 cups of water or electrolytes at every single aid station, and I still didn't feel like it was enough. I did not pee once during the marathon, which I feel like is a really bad sign. And I hit that wall at mile 15, and mile 15 through 19 were just like struggle for me. Yeah, that 4 miles was just tough. I was doing walk run intervals because it was the only thing I could mentally handle. Physically, I felt fine. And then at mile 19, I have no idea what switched, but my brain just went and I was like alive again. We were recording every mile, just doing like a little check-in, and you can see the shift at mile 19.
Like the
Like
light
my
back in your eyes.
Yes, I came right back alive. I was like joking about things, being funny, goofy, and 19 through 26 was just like, this sucks, but I know I'm gonna be able to do it.
Yeah, totally. I should have asked about this earlier, but did you have a fuel strategy going in? Like, did you know when you were going to take gels, how much, like all that, or were you kind of figuring it out as you went?
Yeah, no, throughout training, I practiced my fueling during my long runs, which obviously definitely recommend doing. I stuck to Yucan energy gels and then the Clif blocks with caffeine. I'm not sensitive to caffeine. I could drink like 1,200 cups of coffee and be fine, go take a nap. But so I like that extra caffeine. So I alternated between a Yucan and then the Clif Blocks every 30 minutes. And
Okay, so
I
you're
just on
feeling
the
well.
dot, yeah, on the dot, I just every 30 minutes would take one of those. My watch was set to bling at 30 minutes and I knew, all right, it's time to eat a snack.
Okay, cool. So you were doing that. So the mental barrier between those 4 miles that you said that you struggled, like obviously wasn't a fueling issue, wasn't a body issue. It was just you went maybe a little internal for those few miles, which I think happens to everybody in every marathon, no matter how many you run. You have a moment where you're just like, okay, I've been out here for a very long time.
Yeah.
And what did you, were you saying to yourself? Like, if you were saying anything, like what pulled you through those few tough miles there, do you think?
yeah, I'm a very heady person, so I knew it was helpful to know that that was going to happen at some point. I think it threw me off because it happened earlier than I expected it to, but I was texting different family members, and I think that's really what helped get me through. I mean, having Sarah there, she was hyping me up the whole time because she felt really good the entire race. And then I was texting family members being like, I'm dying, I'm struggling. And people were texting me back, positive motivational things. And then at one point, like, I guess my husband probably texted all of his friends about where I was and that I was struggling. And all of my husband's friends were texting me.
Oh, that's so
And
sweet.
I mean, I love them, they're great, but like, they're my husband's friends. And they were all
Yeah.
just like, we love you, you're doing great, you're crushing it. And I was like, what is happening?
Like, who are you?
Yeah, so I think that really helped me get through everything too. It was just like having that support and knowing people were there and waiting for me at the finish and that I could do it. I just needed to make it happen.
For sure. Yeah. Cool. That's great. I love that your husband did that. That's cute. And then the last few miles, like you said that you were feeling pretty good. You at least were getting closer, so you knew you could finish it. What was the finish like? Like, how did you feel? Were you able to? I feel like I get two categories of finish lines. It's either too much and you can't like process emotions, or you get hit with the emotions like tenfold. So where did you fall?
I think my brain blacked out.
Yeah, that's I
I
did the
think,
same thing.
yeah, I think crossed that finish line. I was running for so long. It was hot out. It took me 5.5 hours to run my half. My feet were hot. I remember my feet just being so hot. Like my back hurt because you don't realize how much core strength you use in running.
Oh,
I
yeah.
feel like I was kind of hunched over at the end. I was like, oh my God. And I just, my brain blanked. Like Sarah was there. We hugged. It was a good emotional moment, but then I was just like, I don't even know what happened. I can't
Yeah.
process this right now.
Yeah. When do you feel like it actually hit you? Like, was it shortly after, the day after, days after? Like, when did it hit you? Like, oh my God, I just ran a marathon.
It was definitely the day after. So that was a Sunday race, and I took the Monday off of work, which was always a smart move. 10 out of 10 recommend doing that. But the day after, I was like, oh my God, I ran a marathon. Like, that's freaking crazy. I'm a marathoner.
It's so fun when that sets in. Yeah, no, that like day or two after it, or even if it hits you a week after, like I always recommend sitting in that moment for a second, because your first marathon is going to be a different feeling than any other race that you ever run. It's so specific to like that experience. So having a second to sit in it and be like you just said, like, oh my God, I just did that, I think is super important.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it was definitely a cool feeling. And I know a lot of people are like, I'm gonna, or a lot of people immediately sign up for their next marathon, but I do think I took the time to sit in the one I had just done with myself and be like, let me appreciate this moment for a while. I don't need to sign up for another marathon right now. I need to figure out what my next steps are, and enjoy the fact that I'm a marathoner.
Totally. I think that's super healthy mindset. Yeah. Cool. Well, I always like to ask for a piece of advice after a marathon story, specifically for the people who are maybe on the fence about running their first marathon or thinking about getting into running like longer distances. What sort of advice from your experience do you think you'd offer someone like that?
I would say in running and maybe in life in general, a really good rule of thumb is to remember that there's never going to be a good time to start. Don't wait until you lose a certain amount of weight. Don't wait until your pace is what you think it should be. Don't wait until you have the right gear or the right circumstances. Whatever you think is holding you back, you're holding yourself back. Just jump the gun, do it. You're exactly where you need to be right now in this very moment, and you have everything inside of you to make things happen. And the people that support you and love you are going to be there with you throughout the whole process.
Oh, I love that. That's so well said. Yeah, it's like it's never going to be a good time to train for 20 weeks. It's always going to be a big part of your year. So, no, I love that. It's never a good time.
And it's never going to be perfect, and things are going to get in the way, and life's going to happen, but you can make it work. And It's going to be great.
100%. Love it. Cool. Well, just to wrap us up here, and then we're going to move over to paywall to do some extended content. Just have some fun questions to ask you about the end about fuel and shoes. You mentioned a couple of them that you used for your first marathon, but anything, or let me give my disclaimer first, because I got to give the disclaimer that everybody's fuel and shoe journey is your own journey. Please go try out everything and anything for fuel. Everybody's a little bit different. For shoes, same thing. Go get your feet measured. But for you, what have you liked for fuel, if anything, outside of like you can and the other one that you mentioned?
My recent shift, which is very popular in life right now, is the Nerds gummy clusters.
Oh, yeah, love.
That's been a big one. That's been the only thing I've been fueling with lately, and I love them, except they can be a choking hazard. I did like almost inhale one of the Nerds during my last race and had to like cough it up. So please actually be careful with those. But they're delicious and it makes you feel like you're having a snack during a run instead of actually fueling. So
Yeah.
I love the Nerds gummy clusters. I've had like Stroop waffles and honey stinger gels and things like that. I don't like goo. That's not for me. But everybody has their thing. And I compiled like a whole list of things that people fuel with. And I do want to like go through and try different things. Like you said, do what's right for you. I don't have a sensitive stomach. So for me, it's more based off of taste. And when you're running those longer miles, I like to switch up textures. I like to switch up. A lot of gels are like really sweet,
Yeah.
and I can only handle so much of that. So, I mean, I like Yucan. They have a pineapple gel, and that one's like kind of acidic, which is a really nice switch up. I've done applesauce before, which is
Yeah.
great. There's just, I mean, you can really make a lot of things work.
Totally. Yeah, there's no
Yeah.
one way to do it. I think it's as soon as you find something that works for your body, just roll with it until you don't like it anymore. That's what I
Yeah,
do.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then shoe wise,
Yeah.
I ran in Nikes for a really long time before I started marathon training. I kind of got off that boat and I discovered Brooks. I ran a lot in Brooks glycerins. That's what I ran my marathon in. I'd recommend having two pairs of shoes if you're gonna long distance train, at the very least, but I had two pairs of Brooks glycerins. That's the only thing I ran in. I would alternate them. And then recently I've started branching out of Brooks as well. I have a pair of Adidas Ultra Boosts, and I just got the Adidas Evo SLs,
Oh,
and
I've
I'm
been seeing them
obsessed with
everywhere.
them.
Okay, I have
I'm
to try them now.
obsessed with
You're
them.
like
I'm
the
like,
10th person
why?
that's brought them up, so I'm like, I have to.
They're amazing. I'm like, why? Who was gatekeeping me from this? Because
Yeah.
I should have tried them sooner. Brooks are great. They're like a really great, nice, stable, stability shoe. And the Evo SLs are also really stable, but they're like cushiony and foamy, and they just feel so good. And I feel like I can fly in them compared to my Brooks. So it makes me want to try more shoes.
Totally.
Because I'm like, what am I missing out on? But also, that's a really expensive feat, so
Yeah.
gotta be cautious about that one.
I was saying like I think I haven't done them so much myself, but I want to do this. I want to get into shoes more myself. I think they have a lot of like local run clubs have a lot of shoe demos, so that
Yeah.
might be a good option. I have not tried it myself, but I've heard that's good if you don't want to spend a ton of money. Try something out. But cool. All right, sweet. And then I know so you took your time off from running a marathon. What's coming up next for you? You're training for anything right now? Any big goals for the next year or so?
Yeah, so after my marathon, I really honed in on speed work. I wanted to kind of get a little quicker. I started working with a run coach, which I think has been really helpful for me. He did a really good job helping me with speed. I broke my first ever 5K, 30-minute 5K,
Oh,
which
congrats.
is
That's so cool.
a big accomplishment for me. I saw my easy pace in the last year go from like 12:30 down to like 11, 10:30. So the speed training is working, and it feels really, really good. And I want to keep working on that, get a little more comfortable running at those quicker paces. I've PR'd my 10K, I've PR'd my 10 miler since I ran my marathon. I ran a half with my good friend, and it was her first ever half, so I got to do that with her, have that experience with her. And Yeah, so coming up, I want to keep working on speed. I'm kind of in a lull right now. I just ran a 10 miler a couple weeks ago, and I have a half marathon planned in October. I'm planning to travel to Italy, and
Oh,
I have
cool.
a race plan there. It's just like aligned, and it's always been a
Yeah.
goal to do an international race. So
Totally.
I have that half marathon in Italy, and then I'm signed up for my next marathon in December, which
Okay.
is Sim. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, someone
So,
recommended that one to me the other day. So
yeah.
that seems like a good one.
I've heard really good things about it, and yeah, so I'm excited. Have
Cool.
that to look
Okay.
forward to. Yeah.
Yeah, so you got a marathon later in the year. So you got all year to plan and some big stuff at the end of the year. That's
Yeah.
great.
Hopefully some little things I, add in there. But I don't have anything planned between now and October right now.
Cool. Very exciting. Well, we're going to jump over to the bonus and do a couple more informal questions. But if anybody wants to follow along with you as you get towards Italy and get towards Sim towards the end of the year, where can they find you?
Running with Yank on Instagram. I'm there. I'll tell you to floss if you need a reminder.
Yep, for sure. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And if you want to keep the keep listening from here, we're going to keep the cameras rolling. Thanks so much.
Thank you guys.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the My First Marathon Podcast. For more stories, tips, and resources, head to myfirstmarathonpodcast.com. And if you want access to bonus episodes, exclusive resources, and extra support for your training, make sure you check out the community at myfirstmarathonpodcast.com/exclusives. You can also follow along with us on socials, Instagram and TikTok. That's at myfirstmarathonpod. If you want to follow along with my personal journey, that's at tay.says. Whether you're training, recovering, or just thinking about signing up, you belong here. I'm so excited that you're here, and we'll see you on the next one.